his service, but also what makes him happy, and it is his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? That's what's very important. We're going to check into it. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to read the last two verses of, the last verse, rather, of the prior chapter 3. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's where you want to be. You want to be an overcomer. You want to sit with him. Otherwise, you would be among the nations as the land allotted. But we find what God's pleasure is in the fourth chapter of the great book of Revelation, the last verse. And that verse reads, let's take it with 10th verse. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, meaning giving all power over to he who sits on that throne, 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. He's done what? He has created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. And what it amounts to, if you don't give him pleasure, you're not pleasing him. You're not going to have his blessings. So therefore, he created people, his children, because he wanted them. He loves them. And that's what he wants from them. He wants that love returned. If you want his touch on you, if you want him looking over you, and so it is that we know that he created even your very soul and being for his pleasure. How long has it been since you told him you loved him? I know this group, and I know you do probably every day, but don't forget, let him know that you love him. And let him know that you want to serve him. Go with me at this time to Philippians. And we'll pick it up in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2 reads, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, that's to say, you listen, you obey, and the very inward affection reaching out to Almighty God for his pleasure, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That is to say, from the Word of God, taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you should be able to pretty well come to one mind, because it's so simple a child can understand it if you listen to the Word instead of the traditions of men. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And this is the way it is. When Father leads, that's the position you take if you want his love, if you want his instructions, if you want to be successful. That's how it works. You give him pleasure. Doesn't matter about anything else. You give the Father pleasure. Let not every man on his own things. Look not every man on his own things. Don't just have your own interest at heart. Well, it's just me. No, don't do that. But every man also of the things of others. When you have to look out for a ministry, you can't pay attention to one person. It's for everyone. All people. The many-membered body of Christ. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Let this be your attitude, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? He was Emmanuel, God with us. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He washed their feet and was made in the likeness of men. He was like any other. He was. The Word became flesh and walked among us. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died a criminal's death by two criminals, and yet he was totally, completely innocent. Why? He was doing it for you. Well, why would that be? Well, have you ever read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14? It tells you a child can understand. Christ died on the cross to destroy the death, which is to say the devil. That's his name. That's why he did it. In other words, Emmanuel, God with us. Father has to kill Satan. He's a son. Father created Satan. It takes a lot of strength to kill one of your own children. But here, when that child, through the Kenites, brought the death of Christ, when the offspring of Satan would cry from the midst, crucify him, that it makes it no problem for God to take vengeance and destroy that devil. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Don't ever forget it. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Even the lowest of degradation on that first day of the millennium will bow to him. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the millennium, that will come to pass. Probably not until the first day of the millennium. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, not while I'm just here to oversee, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you study that word and you understand the teachings of Almighty God. If you want your family blessed, if you want good things to fall your way, you're going to think about God's good pleasure. For it is His good pleasure for your love to be returned to Him in obedience and in following the very Word itself. If you want His blessings in your ministry and in your work, for it is God which worketh in you both to will, that's so that you have future understanding, and to do of His good pleasure. To His good pleasure, you read it right. The word will itself in the Greek means good pleasure. And it means to have a purpose. The word will does. It means to have a plan. And God has a plan, He has a purpose, and He has the will. And that is to say, it gives Him good pleasure when you have the will to do of not your good pleasure, His good pleasure. That's why we came here. 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, as the heathen rage around the world, even at this time. Then Father's church, as that light shines around the world, giving hope even in troubled times, raising people up, not tearing people down. Our Father giving blessings and not cursings, not a heathen raging, cutting off heads and many other things. But that light shines that brings forth truth. And even provides people, Psalms 144 says, trains our troops to be great fighters, to put our enemy under our feet, those that would offend us, that would come against us. And this gives God much pleasure when you do His will and when you do His work against those that would rage. those that would go against your children and your way of life. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. All this teaching on three levels that I brought to you, Paul would say, don't let it be in vain. Use it. Absorb it. Be blessed by it. 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. It makes his day. Paul was down through his ministry, he was beaten. He was whipped, all stripes, 40 minus 1, to the full limit. And yet he was always true to God's word, true to bringing forth that truth. Why? For God's pleasure, not his own, not necessarily even yours, other than bringing you into the will of God, God's way, whereby you also could receive those blessings. Now, go with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to take chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 reads, Paul and Silvanus, that's Silas, and Timotheus, Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to write you a letter. Grace unto you, that's love, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To have peace of mind is what it will bring you. You know, peace of mind is a wonderful thing. There's no place you're going to find it in this world except in Him, in giving Him pleasure. And he pleasuring you. Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, that's to say the love of every one of you all toward each other, aboundeth. I can see the ministry growing by leaps and bounds. It is amazing how blessed this ministry is, and I'm not singling us out. It's difficult to even keep up with the new members each day. But what a blessing it is from Almighty God that you're in His will and that you're doing His purpose, His way, giving Him pleasure. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions, that's your troubles and your tribulations, troubles that you endure. It's a small thing when God takes care of your enemies for you, okay? You can count on it. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. You know, a lot of people, God doesn't like wimps, okay? He just doesn't. Why? You can't count on them. He wants to be able to count on a people that can, just because you're a Christian, if people are not Christians, you can stand for that right. You can stand for something, or you know what? You stand for nothing. And what are you worth? Nothing. So God wants people that can take the troubles of this world, knowing He's behind you, that He is above you, that He is with you, that you're going to have the victory when you obey Him, and when you're giving Him pleasure, and when you follow Him. Instead of getting all wrapped up, well, poor me. God doesn't like poor me babies. He likes troopers that can stand, that can show compassion, and that can serve Him, and at the same time, be willing to share that with many, many others. Tribulation is nothing compared to the beauty that He has set for you. which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Do you know what that is, manifest token? It is plain evidence. That's what it can be translated. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. You got to be worthy. You've got to have earned it. Verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You see, that's the beauty. You don't have to worry about it. If somebody wrongs you, God will zap them. You don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of it. That's his promise. Boy, I believe it 100%. So that's what makes it easier to bear the tribulation and receive the blessings of God and continue with success and prosperity in the work of the living God, giving him pleasure in building his family. 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. It's easy. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He's returning. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't. They're ignorant. 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. At the end of the millennium, if they don't align, that's the story. Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, saints are the set-aside ones, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Verse 11, therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Do you do that? That's his good pleasure, beloved. Do you fulfill his good pleasure, or are you worried about your own? That's what's important. And the work of faith with what? Power. That's where power comes from. It is his good pleasure that causes him to back up the troops. It is his good pleasure that causes him to strengthen the saints, to give you the ability, the knowledge, and the know-how to lead a people, to help a people, to be blessed of him for the people's sake, not your own. His pleasure is what is important. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Is it? You know, that's something. Look at yourself a moment. Is it? And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is. What God is saying here, I know you. It is my pleasure to be able to back you up. It is my pleasure to assist you when the world may even be against you, where you have persecutions. The absolute positive evidence of my being with you is when you give me the good pleasure, which I desire and demand, quite frankly. Then with that comes his blessings in taking vengeance upon those who oppose him, and quite frankly, you. Why? Because you are in him, and he is in you. Okay, in conclusion, let's go to the great book of Ephesians. We're going to take Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Did you understand what I said the word will means in the Greek? It means the purpose and the good pleasure of God. Paul was that apostle. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's written to those that are true to the Lord Jesus Christ. The true one, not the fake. The fake is coming. Many people that are ignorant of God's word are going to worship the fake, thinking it is Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want that peace of mind? That's where it comes from. 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What did he do that in Christ? Well, I don't have Christ. Well, then I'm sorry, it's not talking to you. And I say that because you want to know how fortunate you are that you are in Christ. That you do love him, that you do know him. Otherwise, you're out in the cold. Not a good place to be. This is written to a specific group of people. Listen to verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be able, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, when Satan rebelled in the first earth age, which isn't it sad, a lot of people don't even realize. Even though science cries out and says this earth is millions of years old. Well, this Bible says it is. That there was an age before this. Satan rebelled. Most of the world whored after him. But one certain group of people called the elect, not that they're any better than anyone else or any more special, they just can't stand Satan. They stood against him. And therefore, God could count on them. They were troopers he could depend upon. Many have known there was more to God's word than they had been taught as a child all their life. And yet finally they come around to understanding the eons of time, that there was an eon of time before this. That's why we find relics. That's why we find artifacts of past ages, because there were past ages. You earned that right. That's why you were chosen. Not because you're the prettiest, but because you can cut it. You can get it done. Because you love him, you give him pleasure. Therefore, he chose you to stand against this false one that is coming, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. It gives him good pleasure to know he can count on you, that he can bless your life, and it pays dividends. Verse 5, having predestined. Do you understand the word predestined? It wasn't any accident. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure. I repeat again, the good pleasure of his will. There you have the double whammy. The will is his purpose, his pleasure, and also the word good pleasure, his good pleasure. Why? He could choose you. He could destine you to stand against the false Christ. Why? You're not a wimp. He can count on you. You're a can-do type person. You're not just a hearer. You're also a doer. That gives him pleasure. Because he knows with that that you love him. And certainly in return, he loves you. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. He made us the first fruits, if you would, knowing he could count on us. Again, don't get the big head. It doesn't make you anything special. It just means you're not a wimp and that you stood against the Antichrist and he can use you to stand against him again. Why? He can count on you. You're a doer. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is this reason that when we sin and repent, he can easily erase right out of the book of life that sin. It doesn't exist. Why? Because you meant it when you repented. It gives him pleasure. That's why the cross came to be, for that repentance. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He knows that he can share wisdom with you, that you can pick up on it. That's common sense. Okay. You got good horse sense, in other words. You can understand truth when you hear it. It makes sense. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Again, what did I say this word will meant? His plan, his purpose, that he's made known to you, that wisdom by touching you, according to his good pleasure. There it is, it pleases him, which he has proposed or purposed in himself. He did it himself. Do you know something? You see, Emmanuel, as it is written in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a virgin shall conceive, shall bear a child, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted from the Hebrew means God with us. God didn't leave you down here in a flesh body without showing you how to cut it, how to get it done. Therefore, he himself chose to be born of woman, to even end up being crucified, though he was perfect. It gave him good pleasure to be able to put that buffer there for you on repentance, your sins washed away. Why? Because he knows that you can cut it. He knows that deep down in your heart, mind, body, and soul that you're with him, that you serve him. It gives him good pleasure. And he appreciates that. But that wisdom and that purpose, giving him that good pleasure, why? It's his plan working. And you know what the beauty of it is? And I hope you're not overreading it. You're part of it. You have a place in it. That's very important. And we continue then in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We know from the great book of Revelation, chapter 21, that's going to happen right here on this earth. We don't have to worry about it. It takes place right here. And at the end of this dispensation of time, being the millennium as well, all will be made right. That's why it's so important to deal in an understanding his pleasure. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. I mean, it's yours. Being predestined, there's that word again, not an accident, predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's his own pleasure, his own plan. And guess what? He put you in it. If you stood against Satan in that first earth age, then he expects you to do it again. And you have that inheritance. And as it is written in the great book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verses 20 through 25, do you know what the inheritance was? God said, don't give them an allotment of land, because I am their inheritance. God himself, and he owns everything. How precious it is, and what an awesome thought. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. The first fruits. Verse 13, in whom he also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. You knew truth when you heard it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. His pleasure, his promise. Do you know what that seal consists of? Have you ever read Revelation chapter 9, verse 4? What did God tell Satan when he was booted out as the Antichrist to come down and deceive people? Don't you dare touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Which, what's a seal in your forehead? Well, what's in your forehead? Your brain. And he expects you to use it. And when you know the truth, and when you know the false Christ comes at the sixth trump, the true Christ doesn't return until the seventh, you're going to make that stand. That's his promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest, that's a legal term in the Greek. It means a down payment. It's already been made. Earnest of our inheritance. The down payment's already been made on it. You made it if you believe. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It makes good God's promise. Why? Because you've given him pleasure. He loves it. 15, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, O Paul, always remembering the troops, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Do you know something? It is a real sad thing that you've got so many one-verse Charlies in preachers in this world. Preach one verse and talk an hour. Whose word is it then? Is it God's word or theirs? How do you learn what God has a message for you concerning you if you don't take the scripture itself? That's the letter he has sent to you. That's why it's so important that you read it. If you don't read it, it myths him. Because it gives you instructions on how to be happy, how to be blessed. And then people will push it to the side and say, I just don't know why I'm never blessed. Well, I can tell them. You deserve it. Get in the Word and be blessed. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. His inheritance also in you. That's Father's inheritance. What do you say? I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light of truth and understanding and revelation, whereby you can see and understand the end and stand with Almighty God and be blessed. 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? What is it? According to the working of his mighty power. Let's read it. 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Do you know what he did? He defeated death. You get so many people that weep, and we do miss people when they pass on to this. But Father is the God of living, not the dead. Only the flesh dies. Immediately the spirit, the spiritual body, the real you, returns to the Father and is blessed. For above all principality, that's even satanic powers, and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, not this world age is what it means, but also in that which is to come. In other words, truth is all-inclusive. What he says, I want to open your heart and mind, and I want to let light flood in, whereby you can see and understand the simplicity and common sense which consummates the end of this age, whereby you're not deceived. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's it. That's why if anybody wants to join Shepherd's Chapel, you don't talk to me or somebody else or some board. You talk to him. If he says you're all right, then you're all right with us. You see, he's the head of not part, all. To complete the lecture, 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And it does fill all in all. There is no other, and it gives him great pleasure. When you study, when you show yourself approved, when you follow him, how precious it is to give our Father pleasure. Hey, you can't understand how much he needs that. In a troubled world today, how many people do you think have that seal of truth that really tell him, Father, I love you. I understand what's happening in this world. Be with us. We love you. It makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with. Father, we ask it in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.